You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game edition with analyst Richard Pollack and your host, Drew Mindell.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets just defeated the Los Angeles Kings 1-0 in overtime. I'm Drew Mindell, the host of the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm joined up here in the MTS Center press box by my good friend Richard Pollack. Richard, good win for the Jets. Probably a little bit more difficult than they had wanted to, given that the Kings were on the second half of back-to-back. But 2 points is 2 points, and the fact that the Kings aren't in their conference doesn't really hurt them vis-a-vis the so-called clean win versus the three-point game.
Now, Drew, I spoke to a guest on our show numerous times, Jim Fox, a color commentator for Los Angeles, between periods, and he said that the team got in at about 2:30. So it wasn't in the latest, you know, they didn't get in 4:30. They get in at 2:30, probably asleep by about 3:30. So the Kings didn't look much worse for wear in terms of the travel. Now, they didn't probably look as great as they could. And, you know, they came off a big win last night in Chicago.
That's right.
So maybe there's a little bit of a mental letdown in terms of the competition. No disrespect to the Winnipeg Jets. But I thought the Jets, you know, I thought it was a pretty even game, to be honest, Drew. The shots I see were, you know, 31-27 for the Kings. Obviously, the fact that the game was 0-0 throughout didn't really change the type of play that you're going to see, right? Because the trailing team isn't going to push it more, and then the leading team is going to back off. So you really got a good look at what was going on in terms of both teams that kind of fighting for the same stakes. And, you know, I thought it was last goal wins, and that's exactly what we saw tonight.
Exactly, right. What jumps out at me, I mean, we were just talking about it off-air before we started this. You said to me, you know, Chris Mason obviously gets the shutout in his fourth straight win, so, you know, kudos to him for that. But you said, of the Kings' 31 shots, which one of those shots jumps out at me as being really a remarkable save or a great scoring opportunity? And the truth is, for the Kings, there weren't that many, and even though the Jets only had 27 shots, I suspect that you keep track of scoring opportunities. Yes. I suspect the Jets outchanced the Kings with scoring opportunities.
No, they actually didn't overall, Drew. They were actually down one over the course of the game, but I think that the quality of chances, if you put it on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of, you know,
the Jets' 8 scoring opportunities, let's say most of them were 8s or 9s versus
exactly
the Kings'
right. I mean, you had
scoring chances, most of which were 6s or 7s.
And that's an even strength, too. You're not taking into account power play. And I would assume with power play, the Jets were ahead. I mean, Bernier made a beautiful save cross-crease. They had an Antropov breakaway.
Yeah.
So overall, I think that the Jets were the better team, you know, with respect to chances tonight, and they came out with a W. Well, you know, let's break it down.
Yeah, exactly. Scoreless, obviously, throughout the game.
Yes.
Really, the two sort of best opportunities for scoring. Los Angeles Kings had a 5-on-3 in the second period that was for almost a complete 2 minutes. It was for 1:52 of a 5-on-3, and you know, usually, at least you're going to control the pace, and they controlled the play, but very much kept to the outside.
Yep.
Didn't really have any great scoring chances in that 5-on-3 situation for them. And the Jets escaped it unscathed and got a standing ovation from the MTS Center faithful at the end of that 5-on-3.
Absolutely, and you know the very very smart crowd you have here. One thing I noticed about the Los Angeles Kings, they load up their top power play, and for the most part, except for the end of the game when they were more concerned about the defenseman on the point. They logged Jared Stahl and Drew Doughty on the points on the top power play unit. And they logged Mike Richards with Anze Kopitar and Dustin Brown. And that's all their horses, basically, on one unit.
Right.
They weren't able to really generate too many chances. I thought they looked a little bit disorganized, Drew, on the power plays, specifically that 5-on-3-2, and they were shifting the guys on the point. They weren't really sure who they wanted there, where they wanted Stoll, where they wanted Doughty, where they wanted Richards, because Richards used to play the point significantly in Philadelphia, and he still plays it, I think, here from time to time. But when you have Stoll, Doughty, and Richards on your 5-on-3, 5-on-4, all three of those guys have been used to playing the point. And it seemed like at times they were trying to find their way of where they're going to be otherwise.
Let me ask you this. I mean, the Kings have a new head coach, Daryl Sutter. How much of that sort of lack of crispness, let's say, on the 5-on-3 do you think is attributed to maybe Daryl Sutter putting in a new system but not having had a lot of practice time to really deep root it into the team? You know, obviously, you know, new coach wants to put in a new system to some respects. They've been playing, I mean, you know you don't have 4 days off where the head coach can really drill you four straight days, so they're probably in some respects a work in progress and a bit of a transition in their power play altogether, and especially in their 5-on-3, which they're less likely to practice than a standard 5-on-4 power play.
It's a good question, Drew. I don't know the answer to it because I didn't watch the Kings significantly prior to the coaching change. I actually watched them a couple times last week. Thought they looked pretty strong. I didn't get a chance to watch the game last night, but I also watched them play against Phoenix and San Jose. They aren't so much different than the team that they were before, and I think the coaching will be a factor in terms of motivation, Drew, and in terms of strategy. But I think overall, I think one thing that the Kings lack and have lacked for a prolonged period of time and still lack is speed. And there's a lack of speed on the team, and not only on offense, where I think they're personally weak on the wings, and obviously Simon Gagné not being in the lineup is a factor, but even so, they needed another winger. Dustin Penner's obviously been a huge letdown, but even on the back end, Willie Mitchell doesn't skate that well. Rob Scarry's not the best skater. Drew Doughty's a beautiful skater, but he looks out of shape.
He does. Doughty, it looks like Doughty's been hitting a little too much dough there.
Didn't look good. I mean, he looked good when the puck was on his stick, and you're not going to take that away from him, Drew. Well, but he didn't look good when the puck wasn't on his stick, and you're talking about a guy who was a dominant force at the 2010 Winter Olympics with the best players in the world. Somebody who needs to regain his form, physically. 2010
Vancouver. He was one of the best players for Team Canada.
Yeah, he was. And it was him and Duncan Keith.
I've been up since about 4:45 this morning.
Did the morning show this morning. But overall, Drew, I thought that this team has a lack of speed. I thought the Jets' speed caused them some issues at times, although I think the Jets, if you ask them candidly, probably like to have taken advantage of it a little better. But kudos goes to Jonathan Bernier. Now, the backup goalie has had a poor year.
Very poor. We were looking, going over his numbers in the 870s,
yes,
in the save percentage.
I was talking to somebody, I was just in Las Vegas, as you know, and I was talking to somebody there about him. Somebody was talking,
I'm shocked you were able to find somebody in Vegas.
Yeah, I was talking to me about the Kings, and he said, Jonathan Bernier hasn't good numbers. I said, he doesn't, but he's a talented goalie. Mm-hmm. You could see today, he doesn't have great rebound control, and there's things that you can work on, he can change. But overall, Drew, I was very impressed with his athleticism. His positioning for the most part, he was very quick side to side, and he made a number of key saves to keep the victory. To keep the Kings in it, and then get them a point. Hey, if you are from the Kings' perspective for a second here, you're coming into Chicago, Winnipeg, back to back nights with travel. You're going to take 3 out of 4 points every day.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And the Jets are happy they get their 2 points.
And you mentioned it before. Sorry to interrupt there. You mentioned it before. I mean, it's a out of conference game. So the truth is, you don't care if you give a point to the other team. Jets get their 2 points.
It's never going to come back and bite you.
No.
I mean, and it's not a shootout win. Where it's a shootout win, it doesn't...
It hurts you in the tiebreaker.
Yeah. This is just a win, so it doesn't...
Is it not regulation wins, though?
Is it regulation wins?
It's regulation wins.
Okay, it could very well be. I'm trying to picture the...
It's ROW, because it's a standings, right?
Regulation wins.
So in any event, it's good to get the victory, and it means more. When you win 4-on-4, it means more than... What's Brian Engblom doing down there?
He's doing
the robot?
No, he's talking a little bit. He's moving side to side. He's talking to Dennis Bayak over there, where as he's giving us the wave goodbye. As you see it, tomorrow morning, as he bright and early. As he and I are hosting the morning show on TSN 1290, so we're pulling some double duty this week, as it were. Jets had the best opportunity when they had their 5-on-3, also almost for a complete 2 minutes. It was for a minute 15. That came early in the third period. And the Jets had a very good scoring opportunity. You mentioned it when you talked about Jonathan Bernier moving side to side.
Although...
I know it hit the post.
Yeah.
But, he still made it a tough shot, and that's why
I thought he had touched it originally. But
it was very close. Yeah. I mean, it looked like he still may have glanced a piece of it, but it definitely hit the post, and that was the Jets' best opportunity in the third period in terms of getting back into this game. They did have a breakaway early in the game, I believe in the first period, that went for naught.
Yeah, they did, Drew, and overall, I thought the Jets played it was kind of like a road game almost. You know what I mean? But the way they played, it was kind of, you say a solid road game, and kind of like it was a solid road game.
Yeah.
The crowd was into it and by the way, you know what? Quickly, I wanted to mention Evander Kane, who there's speculation that he rubs some people the wrong way. Tim Stapleton got hit in the middle of the slot there by Jack Johnson.
Yeah, clean hit. Yeah.
And Stapleton probably should have known that you're not going to get much time in the slot in the National Hockey League.
Someone's going to come and take you.
He gets hit by a guy who's built like a truck in Jack Johnson. Even so, Stapleton gets up, continues the game after the fact, but Kane pops in. Drops the gloves with Jack Johnson, who's a big, tough guy.
Yeah.
They don't really get to much of a fight, and ends up being 4 minutes for Kane and 2 minutes for Johnson, so the extra 2 minutes, which the Jets killed off. But that's a team builder. And you stick up for a teammate. You stick up for a guy who's, a guy 13th, 14th, 4th, who's kind of moved his way up, is well-liked by everybody. And that gets you some credit in the locker room. And I think that, not only is this 2 points on the scoreboard today, I think that might be a factor for team building.
It's just another way. I mean, he just sort of – it's another leadership step for him. I mean, he's still a young guy, and he's coming into his own as a goal scorer.
I thought today you and I both mentioned he played with a chip on his shoulder.
All game he was going around. It looked like him and Doughty didn't like each other. They had some words and some jousting. Him and obviously Jack Johnson in
Dustin
that case.
Brown.
Yeah, Dustin. Well, I mean, Dustin Brown, who's very good at getting under people's skin.
He is, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the thing is, Drew, is when Kane plays that style, he's mean. Mm-hmm. He's fast. He's got a good shot. You know what? He's not a great passer, and we've mentioned that for months now. You know what?
You are what you are.
Goal scorer. You are what you are.
Hey, who cares if he's not a good passer?
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. He's the best player on the team, and I don't think it's close. You know, I think we said that in our Christmas special with Rack. I said that at least. He's the best player. I don't think it's close. You wonder who scores. Say he's the only natural scorer on this team.
That's right.
And he makes it look easy. And people, you know, let's talk about that winning goal here.
Tell you what, you can find passers a lot easier than you can find guys who can score 40 goals.
You know who he reminds me of? And we'll probably talk about this on Saturday's show. We're going to be doing the New Year's Eve show from the atrium of the MTS Center, not the MTS Center.
No, you can't call it the MTS Center.
There you go. So I kind of caught myself there. But
well done.
He reminds
me,
quick
learner.
Maybe to our, you know, more senior audience,
sure.
Peter Bondra.
Okay. Tell us why. That's not a guy that you normally hear as comparisons.
Plays that left wing.
Yeah.
Fast. Had a really good shot. Wasn't the best passer. But straight ahead, he could score. They have some similar traits. Bondra wasn't necessarily as powerful as Van der Kane is, excuse me, but there are some similar traits, and I have to say, you obviously know that, you know, you guys joke about my having a Kane bias, but I think he's been a terrific presence on the team. He scored 2 goals in Colorado on Tuesday night, and here we go now. He gets another goal in overtime, game winner. And to me, there's no stopping him. There's no fluke here, as far as I'm concerned.
He is a top 10 in the league in goals now.
After that goal tonight?
I think he was maybe coming in, but now he's definitely...
Well, leader stamp goes to 22, isn't it?
22, and he's got about 19 now.
19 now. So, yeah. I mean, he could pop in one game.
Yeah, I mean, Kane's right there. I mean, he's just night in, night out, the best goal scorers in the league. Yep. The puck finds them in good opportunities. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, you know, this play, you know, he came down the left wing. He beat Willie Mitchell to the point that he got a clean shot off.
Yeah, 2-on-1, pass from Wheeler.
Yeah, there was a rebound, bounced around a bit. Hainsey got a stick on it.
Missed
Wheeler had a stick
Hainsey
on it
missed
before.
It. Probably would have liked to get that puck down.
Yeah.
Missed it.
Well,
and the puck pops into the slot.
Yeah.
And Kane makes it look easy. Pulls it from forehand, backhand, excuse me, kind of not smoothly, but gets it to his forehand. Quick puck up over Bernier's pad.
Before anybody could react.
Exactly. And he's had those quick hands before. Goal scorer is goal.
That's right.
That's what he does. He scores. I mean, what else can you ask for?
They're not all going to be highlight wheel beautiful goals.
That's right.
But they're going to be effective, and they're going to come at opportune times. That's when the best goal scorers do their work.
Right.
And that's what happened. It's just that simple. And this is Vander Kane's not going to – he's not going to – this is the future. This is the future of this team. And as the other guys build around him, and, you know, this is a Jets team that was trying out some new lines tonight. You know, no Brian Little. He's still on the shelf. No Jim Slater after he sort of took the knees to the ribs in the Colorado game. So you have Tim Stapleton playing center there with Kane and Wheeler.
Yep.
Your second line is the usual one with Wellwood, Antropov, and Ladd.
And Antropov logged a lot of time today. Drew, he logged 23 minutes of ice time. Led the team at both at both total ice time.
Yeah.
And I think he led the entire team in total ice time. He did. 23 minutes. That's Enstrom. Antropov played 22 minutes and 24 seconds, but led the forwards in even strength ice time. I thought he played a solid game.
He led the team in shorthanded ice time, 5 minutes and 15 seconds in shorthanded ice time.
He got killed in the circle. He
30%. Yeah,
30%. Won 6 of 20. But overall, I thought
the Jets got killed in the circle as a whole this game. They missed Jim Slater in there.
Misses and Brian Little.
Yeah, of course.
You got your lefty and your righty, and you saw on one play on the PK, Drew. I think it was on the 5-on. It was on the 5-on-3. Stoll wins a draw back to Scuderi, and it was against Stapleton. Sorry, excuse me, Wellwood. And Stoll against Wellwood's a mismatch in any day of the week. Even if Wellwood is a good faceoff guy, Stoll is not only a good faceoff guy; he's actually very good. But
that's right.
He's strong as a bull.
I think that was the first faceoff in the Jets in the 5-on-3.
And I killed him about 30 seconds. So I mean, those are huge factors. I think the Kings are a really strong faceoff team. I think that some things from the Kings we have to obviously take into account. They played last night.
Yeah.
Didn't get in the latest. Later, you know, maybe that's the Jets got into Detroit that one time. But It looked all right, and you know, it was a coin flip game.
Well, you know, you look at the Kings, and I mean, they obviously don't. You know, we're not going to see the Kings again this year, but they've always been. Last couple years, they've been the sexy dark horse pick
yes,
for a team.
I picked this year for the Cup. I picked them in Pittsburgh.
I just don't think they have the speed right now.
They don't have the speed right now, Drew. And obviously, Gagne increases their speed level. He doesn't skate like he once did.
Right.
I mean, that has to be taken into account. He does skate like he once did,
and he's always one hit away from being back on the show.
Yes, and he's always want something. He's him and Justin Williams, both former Flyers, are usually one something away from being injured, but. If you make a trade and you add in a speedster or two, they refine this. They refine their game under Daryl Sutter.
Right.
You can certainly see with good goaltending, which they get from Quick and Bernier.
Yeah.
Generally, Bernier's talented, but they get from Quick for sure. Quick's been great this year.
Quick's something like a 940 something yep. save percentage.
So you get the good goaltending and you get Doughty into shape here. If you get Doughty going, and maybe you add a winger.
And as you mentioned earlier, I can't remember if it was on the podcast or when we were sitting watching the game, Daryl Sutter was the best thing that happened to Dion Phaneuf in Calgary. So you'd expect him to see similar results with Drew Doughty. You'd hope so. Exactly.
You'd hope so. And I think, you know, for the most part, they don't look great right now. But you better off to not look great now than in March. And so Sutter's literally been here for, what, a week and a half?
Yeah.
I like to see what this team is like. We know we're not going to see them again in terms of in person here in Winnipeg. But you see what they're like in the middle of February, see what they do at the trade deadline, and there's certainly potential. But if they do the same thing that they've always done, you know, developing to a point and then losing in the first round, or, you know, that six-game, seven-game to a really good team, Dean Lombardi is probably on watch. And this team,
there's still a few pieces away.
You need to add a winger. You need to add a winger. And if you get Doughty going, you probably are good with the defense. You probably need to add two wingers, frankly. Maybe even a fourth liner. Maybe three forwards. But if you can,
easier said than done, of course.
Yeah, but you can get. I mean, you can get some of those wingers. I mean, you can get a guy who can fill in here. You know, that I'm sure
they certainly don't have. They're not fleet of foot. And it's noticeable.
It's noticeable.
And you know, when you're not a fast team,
they're weak on the wings, Drew. They're weak on the wings.
Yeah,
I mean, look at their wingers. Look at their wingers tonight.
Yeah.
And you're looking at Dustin Brown. Okay.
Yeah.
Dustin Brown is your top six wingers right now, and the Stoll line's their third line. Stoll, Williams, and Penner. Just because Richards and Kopitar are their two best centers. Okay. So Williams and Penner, yeah, good wingers.
They're deep down the middle.
Great down the middle, and that's where you need to be strong. But look at their wingers in the top six. Now, Gagne's injured, but Dustin Brown, Trevor Lewis, Lakoitanov, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Lakoitanov. Yeah.
And Brad Richardson, who looked all right. But think about that.
That's,
I mean, you're going to go to the Cup, and you're going to play against, you know, they slide Pavelski to the wing, and they slide Marlowe to the wing.
Yeah,
and
those guys will get killed. There's no comparison there.
You have Sedin on the wing, and whoever, the Vancouver's not the deepest on the wings, but they have some speed. They have some guys. Booth, you throw Booth back in there. And you look at
Chicago. None of these wingers are – you're not game planning for any of these wingers.
Yeah, Marian Hossa, Patrick Kane.
That's right.
You can't compete with that because those teams have the top four.
And those are the
and
guys
they have
who,
pretty good goaltending.
And those are the guys you expect to be in the teams that you expect to be challenging for the Cup.
Yeah, so you see some strengths in LA's game. Their size, their willingness to throw around their body. I think that there's the depth at the middle, the top end skill on the back end, obviously goaltending for the most part. So there are things to build with and to build upon, obviously. But you need to get better and you need to address it from the outside as far as I'm concerned.
One last thing I want to talk about tonight's game. I thought it was a hard-hitting game.
It was.
There were a number of good, solid body checks on both sides.
Justin back down, and I like that about that. So the thing I like about Vander Kane, and I like about the team overall, you know, they're engaging a little bit more that's more real hockey, and you watched 24/7 last night in these Eastern Conference battles. The Jets don't really have these rivals yet, but the Rangers and the Flyer games, I don't know if the Jets could be in those games. And tonight showed you that the Jets can play that game if they want to. Now, it's not probably their strength, and they don't want to draw too much into those kind of, you know, physical situations.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they can handle themselves when they have to do that, and that's important.
And it's the Jets' best players who are able to handle themselves. Yeah. Kane was, like we said earlier, truculent, Brian Burke with the Leafs coming into town on Saturday. Alex Burmistrov, not afraid to throw around the body.
He hiked a good one on, that was a Scuderi there in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, Rob Scuderi's a big boy.
Yep.
You know, he took him down. These guys are, you know, they're not afraid to mix it up a little bit in the corners. I mean, Patrice Cormier played his first game for the Jets tonight.
I liked his
energy.
I like his jam.
Yeah. I thought, you know, what did he play here? Played 6 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, an effective 6 minutes.
Sure.
Nothing special about it, but, you know, hit a couple guys. Yeah. They had a good shift. I think it was early in the first period where they cycled the puck deep for that entire line, him and Thorburn and Fair.
I like what he brings. It's a little bit different. You know, he's a little bit different to what the team has. And, you know, again, they're doing this without Big Buff, too. We haven't mentioned that yet. Big Buff on the back end without Slater. And without Little. So you're doing it without key contributors.
And if you told me at the beginning of the year Mark Fled would be playing this well.
Yeah. No,
and
there's no chance.
I mean, yeah. You know, and people who saw the Moose last year would say that they're not surprised at all. But I don't buy that either. I mean, you know, if you'd said to me at the beginning in September, Mark Fled is going to come in and he's going to come into your lineup and for the most part he's going to be a seamless addition to your defensive corps.
Yeah,
First of all, you'd say what number was Mark Fled on the depth chart?
Yeah, probably 10.
Well, he was behind Randy Jones.
Yeah, so that's 7 already.
He was
already.
Behind Derek Meach.
That's 8.
I mean, he was
maybe behind Calder Postma, 9-10 maybe.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 11.
That's right.
Maybe not in the Jets, you know, internal depth chart. Maybe
us and the pundits, they
probably
wouldn't 11. Have said, yeah, wouldn't have said
you know,
more injuries would be
factor,
a key.
But injuries aren't only the main factor because this guy's playing his way up as a seventh defenseman regardless. And sure, Randy Jones is in and out. But, I mean, at this point in time, I think Fled has surpassed Randy Jones in terms of
the
team.
I don't think they're – when Randy Jones is healthy, he's sitting.
And he should be. And not only that, Fleta adds a nice element, a little more of an offensive game, but also the right-handed shot.
Yeah.
And with Bogosian and with Bufflin, you have a third right-handed shot. And if they get rid of Oduya, I think they'll do it in a heartbeat.
Oh,
no, you know, no offense to Johnny Oduya.
No, but when you have a guy who can replace him for a fraction of the cost and you can get some draft pick assets.
I've been touting that for a while now.
Of course.
And you can throw anybody in there, really, in that bottom six defense slot, and you can save a heck of a lot of money.
Exactly. That was it. So Jets with a 1-0 victory tonight at MTS Center over the Los Angeles Kings. The three stars, third star for the Jets, Tobias Enstrom, second star from the Los Angeles Kings, the aforementioned Jonathan Bernier, and with his first shutout of the year? Did they have one in Carolina?
To Chris Mason? Did they shut out
the Hurricanes? First one? Chris Kreviazuk telling us the first shutout. There you go. Thank you, Chris.
22nd of the career?
22nd of the career. That's a bigger number than I thought. 22nd of his career was the first star. That's Chris Mason. So good victory.
That goes well with Drew with your 22nd piece of pizza tonight in the press box.
Exactly. Which is odd. They didn't even serve pizza.
That's all really odd.
I had no idea that Domino's, or not Domino's, Carbone. Of course, one of the official sponsors of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
delivered
up to the press box.
Absolutely.
Anyways, Jets next action Saturday night, New Year's Eve against the Toronto Maple Leafs. If they win on Saturday, if they win on Saturday, 10-3-1 on this homestand.
And I mean, hey,
in the month of December, 10-3-1.
We said 10.
Yeah.
You know, out of the 14 of 16, we said they need to have 10.
I think we even said 9 would be.
No, I think we got up to 10, and I think that's what they have. And
tell you what, if they can finish these December games at home, 10-3-1
against an overrated Leafs team.
Yeah. And this is the Leafs team that they still have to catch in the standings, and they're getting close to them today after tonight's victory.
Yeah, Leafs are overrated.
I know. 10-3-1, if they can do that after Saturday's game, it will be a very happy new year for the Winnipeg Jets and their fans.
Absolutely.
Reminders, if you're listening to this in the middle of the night or early, early tomorrow morning, tune your radio to TSN 1290. Ezra and I are hosting the big show, the morning show, bright and early Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
I'll be listening.
I know. You won't be awake until later, but you'll be listening at some point. We've been hosting all week. Of course, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, noon to 3 on Saturday on TSN 1290, broadcasting live from the atrium at MTS Center. So you can come down and say hello if you like. Always like to meet
our
fans. Aside from that, for Richard Pollock, for Michael Remus, my name is Drew Mandel. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for post-game audio coming from Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg.
Well, that was the first part of the podcast. Let's head into the Jets dressing room with Dave Minuk and the Kings dressing room with IC's own Ezra Ginsberg. First up, we got the goalie, the man with the Iron Maiden mask. He got the shutout tonight, Chris Mason.
You know, as it gets longer and longer, they're sort of the wounded dog coming in here after playing 3-4 and on the road last night. The pressure must increase for you because one goal is going to be the difference.
Well, that's definitely the way the game kind of felt tonight, you know, is the way that we were playing and the way that they played as well. It was kind of, we kind of figured it would be a low-scoring game, and with them coming in, they didn't play as tired as I thought they would, but you know, we did what it took to win tonight, and it was great seeing that puck go in overtime.
What's it like being in the far end there and you see Kane put it in? You know, you slid all the way down the boards right after. It must be such a great moment of joy for you.
It is. It's such a huge, I don't know if it's a relief or you're just so excited to see it go in and the guy's arms go in the air and all the fans stand up and, you know, I can't get down there fast enough. So it was, it's a great feeling to score, to see the guy score in overtime.
Talk to us about.
You know, I thought the difference in that game for our team than how we got it to overtime was the guys did an unbelievable job on the penalty kill. You know, we had that 5-on-3 in the second period, and you know we're going to give up something there. And I think the guys did a great job of giving up the least dangerous chances on that penalty kill in particular. And you know, you got guys sacrificing. Ron Haynes, he cleared one from his knees all the way down the ice, and just things like that. Another penalty kill with 5 minutes left. No panic. Guys did a great job and kept getting the puck down. And that was, I think that's definitely why we got to overtime.
And that shutout for you tonight, how did that
feel? Oh, it felt great. You know, it felt a lot better seeing the puck go in overtime than actually getting a shutout. And it's all about winning, so winning feels great.
Big team like that, it's sort of a different challenge to you guys. How do you feel you guys responded overall against a tough physical team like that?
I thought we did well. You know, we know that their game's puck possession, get the puck down low and protect it, and you know that their big guys have skill too. So we knew it's similar to, you know, the big line against Anaheim. They're tough to defend, but I thought, you know, for the most part, we did a great job. And you know, they had, we put Laddie, Antro, and Welly out there, and they have some size too. And I thought, they're going to get their odd chances here and there because they're good players. But I thought we did a great job.
Christmas chocolate didn't affect you at all?
No, I'm still eating it. So, yeah, no, it felt it was okay. Yeah. Heading into overtime, you know, I was happy with the way that we played the last 10 minutes of that period. Excellent penalty kill, and I just thought, you know, we need to get an overtime because all these points really count. So we got to overtime, and that's the time we can kind of, you know, you kind of go for it. And I thought we did a good job, and, hopefully, you know, we were kind of thinking they'd tire out there as the game went on, but they didn't seem to. And, you know, we went for it, and the guys made a great play around the net.
How tough is it mentally on you to play every nine games and be counted on to backstop this team to a big win?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not, you know, ideal or anything like that, but people on their team, you have to accept your role, and that's something I accept to do. And I know that, I've done both jobs, so I'm, you know, kind of relying on previous experience when I first came into the league, and I'd be in this situation. I'm kind of going back to my roots a little bit there, and the way I prepared when I was younger. So it's just it just takes a little bit more preparation, I think, instead of because you don't have that feeling of every night having the confidence. And you just know that you're going to play well. So every game day is a little bit bigger of an event for me.
Chris, the pads are still holding up pretty well. It's going to be hard to get to switch to the new ones, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think I've answered as many questions about a set of pads in my life. But, they feel good right now. We got them as a set to, mm-hmm. To use when these ones are done, basically. But, I'll try to break them in here as we go. And like I said, you know, these feel good right now. So I don't mean to, try to delay
a little
the,
excited.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't mean to do that, but, I these are working well right now. So probably wearing for a bit here.
Next up, he scored the game winner. Number 9, Evander Kane.
Rock solid for us any time he's had to come in, and you know, we have a lot of confidence in him as we do in Pavlik.
Somebody make you mad today before the game? Did somebody cut you off on the way here or something?
You know, I get cut off a lot, to be honest, but no, nobody made me mad. It's just, you don't play against teams too often, so I guess, you know, the first 5 minutes you kind of got to feel the game, and it was obviously an intense game out there. Yeah, a little bit, I guess.
Why did you jump in there?
Well, anytime a hit like that happens, a guy's in a long position. I didn't think the puck was there when he got hit, so you guys are going to stick up for each other, and I'm no different.
How was Stapleton in the middle of that line today?
He was great. He brings a lot of speed to our line as well with Wheeler, so I definitely enjoy playing with him. He sees the ice real well, so it was a good fit.
It seemed like guys like yourself.
Me?
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying you. I'm talking about guys like Bernie Strelman, guys who maybe don't
seem to have that fight, or they don't need to fight every night in their game. It seemed like everybody had it tonight.
Yeah.
Was there a reason for that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it was a pretty physical game. You know, it was an intense game. It was a 0-0 game, so every shift was crucial, and guys knew that going out there. So I think, you know, guys like Burmy, he's only 185 pounds, but he's probably one of the strongest guys on the skates on the team. He's knocked down Chara twice this season already, so I don't think anybody's done that. So, you know, it's great to see everybody step up and play physical like that.
Just describe the goal to me in your earnings.
Yeah, Roddy made a great play up the wall. Wheels found me, got the shot off, just tried to knock the rebound over to the other side. And the puck just, I think Roddy batted out of the air, batted the bouncing puck, and it seemed to make his way across the crease, and I was able to pull it around and just slide it in.
You seem to be feeling well the last couple of games, at least. There's 3 goals in your last 2 games.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's been a good 2 games, 4 big points for us as a team, and, you know, it was nice to come off the Christmas break feeling pretty good. No, it's obviously, you know, we got to above the line last game, and as I said, you know, a few days ago, that we want to stay above that and continue to build. So it's definitely a big 2 points for us and keeps us above that line and, you know, in a playoff position in the standings.
A little bit of good karma there, you know, stand up for Stapleton and get the reward with the game winner in OT? Or?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I don't know. I'm doesn't matter really who got, yeah. But, you know, I'm more than prepared to step up and stand up for a teammate, as you know, I think every guy in this room is. So, you know, we're not going to let anybody get taken advantage of out there. And, you know, it's just something that happens throughout the course of a game.
Did you think it was a high hit? Or?
Well, I thought the puck didn't get to him when he got hit. So, you know, I know Wheels was trying to hit him in front, and he was kind of coming this way. And, you know, I thought the contact was made before the puck even got to him. So I didn't like the hit. And, you know, obviously it was a big hit, so I want to get in there and you know, stand up for him.
Let's go with the job Mason did again. You know, he's probably got the toughest job in hockey. You start every 2 weeks, you got one of the hottest goalies in the league playing ahead of you, and all he does is throw up a little goose egg.
Yeah, he's that's a veteran for you. So he's a very mature guy, and you know, like I said earlier, I don't think we have a backup goalie. It's more of a 1A, 1B type of situation we have here, and we have just as much confidence in either goaltender, and we know that they can get the job done when they're called upon.
What's it like closing in on your career high with, you know, over half a season to go? I know you had high lofty expectations, and you've obviously been able to produce and perform.
Yeah, you know, coming into the year, I wanted to, you know, show that what I can do and play consistent, and so far, you know, I'm satisfied with the things, with how things have went, and I want to continue to build and get better.
Let's go to defenseman Zach Bogosian.
We needed him. I killed off 5-on-3 there, and you know, it was a good team effort, 3 periods, or well, I guess overtime too, but it was a strong effort from our team.
They came in, they played in Chicago last night, and, you know, possibly fatigue was going to be a factor, but didn't show. They stayed with you. They actually really outshot you by quite a big margin.
Yeah, they battled hard. You know, I thought Mace made some big saves on them early to kind of calm them down a little bit. I thought we went through, you know, a five-minute period there in the second where they were really, they hit the post there on one, and you know, Maceville had battled hard for us, and you know, they gave a strong effort, and obviously going into overtime, they had 3 games in 4 nights. They battled hard.
That's Kane's 18th, and he's starting to become the guy that when you need one, he gets it. No surprise to you that he pulled the trigger.
No, I mean, he wants to score. He wants to be the guy. So obviously he's you know, put up some big goals for us this year. So it you know, it's good to get the win there, and obviously you know, him bearing down in front of the nets, it was huge for us. We needed him. I killed off 5-on-3 there, and you know, it was a good team effort, 3 periods, or well, I guess overtime too, but it was a strong effort from our team.
They came in, they played in Chicago last night, and you know, possibly fatigue was going to be a factor, but didn't show. They stayed with you. They actually really outshot you by quite a big margin.
Yeah, they battled hard. You know, I thought Mace made some big saves on them early to kind of calm them down a little bit. I thought we went through you know, a five-minute period there in the second where they were really, they hit the post there on one, and you know, Maceville had battled hard for us, and you know, they gave a strong effort, and obviously going into overtime, they had 3 games in 4 nights. They battled hard.
That's Kane's 18th, and he's starting to become the guy that when you need one, he gets it. No surprise to you that he pulled the trigger.
No, I mean, he wants to score. He wants to be the guy. So obviously he's you know, put up some big goals for us this year. So it you know, it's good to get the win there. And obviously you know, him bearing down in front of the nets, it was huge for us.
Well, I think, you know, we skated well, and you know, we created some havoc for their goalie. And you know, when you're being a little assertive and playing to win and not to lose, somehow the puck always seems to bounce its way on your stick. So I think we were trying to, you know, move the tempo. We knew they played the night before, so I think we might have a little extra jump. Not really. I think that was it. Just he wanted us to keep moving, and you know, we know the way he wants us to play. And when the games are tighter like that, you know, we're a young team learning how to win. I think that's the biggest thing, is we just need to play to win and play to our strength. And you know, we did that, and it turned into a goal.
Coach Morrell likes to call these games heavy. Was it a heavy game to you?
Yeah, no doubt. These guys, they're that was as tough of one as we've had, and we've played some really good teams lately. So, you know, you gotta tip your cap to those guys. They made everything really tough on us, and there were really no you know, besides the breakaway, I got stuffed on. There weren't really any great opportunities. You know, they just kept us to the outside, played really hard, and you know, you gotta take your hat off to them. And we just feel fortunate that we got a bounce there in the overtime. Well, just, you know, I think it gives you confidence. You know, we've kind of come up on the short end of the stick a few times, and we're learning how to win these tight games like this. So to win a 1-0 game in overtime is a huge boost to our confidence, you know, to learn how to do it. And, you know, winning in overtime is just, it's one extra point in the standings, which that could be the difference in the end of the year.
Back up goalie might be the toughest job in hockey. And talk a little bit about the job that Chris Mason did for you.
Well, you don't, I mean, it's selfish of us to expect that from him, but that's what, you know, we expect from Mace, and he brings that every night. You know, when I was traded to Atlanta last year, it was just, it was eye-opening to see how he worked every day, and, you know, how he competed in practice every day. And, you know, I'm sure he wants to be out there more and more, but with the opportunities he's been given this year, you just can't say enough about the way he's played, and I'm sure he'll tell you about it. Sorry, guys.
That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Listen to the big show hosted by Drew and Ezra Friday morning from 6 to 9. And the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be airing at its usual time, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. live from the atrium at MTS Center. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. And for all your Winnipeg Jets news, visit illegalcurve.com. Signing off from our lips to your ears. Good night.